Return to Camp Blood, episode 37, Community Spotlight with Nathan Hanneman. This episode is brought to you by Friday the 13th Franchise.com and Horror Hound Cincinnati.
Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing if you stay here.
Never come back again.
You see, Jason was my son, and today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Oz, joined by my fellow counselors, Eric.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
And Lando.
What's up?
Yeah, tonight we have a special guest on the show, the editor-in-chief of Horror Hound Magazine, and the man who makes all the magic happen at the Horror Hound conventions in both Indianapolis and Cincinnati, the one and only Nathan Hanneman. Welcome to the show, Nathan. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome on, man.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
Thanks for being on, man.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. So we'll jump right in. Before we talked about Horror Hound, how did you first like get into the horror genre?
Oh, my background was in internet design, which led to a job working for a magazine doing their website back in the late 90s. And they did collector magazine. So we worked for Disney, and we did stuff for Star Wars and Hot Wheels and action figure companies. And I started writing for that magazine. They did magazines and books, and that eventually led to a opportunity to write a book myself, which I was a huge fan of horror movies and horror collectibles. So a friend of mine, Aaron Crowell, who's the managing editor of Horror Hound, we wrote a book on collecting horror movie merchandise, and had so much fun doing it, we just thought, let's start a magazine. Kind of took that and ran with it, in a way that I didn't think the magazines that were already out there were kind of doing.
Yeah, I've actually got that book, and it's pretty impressive. yeah. So I wondered if you were, I kind of figured you were a lifelong horror fan like most of us are. We refer to ourselves as horror nerds because
Eric Anderson coined that.
Yeah. Yeah. He, because of the little intricate details that we pick up on and things like that. So yeah, we embrace our nerdiness. It's a labor of love for sure.
Yeah, and that's kind of how the magazine kind of works for us. Is we always kind of consider it kind of like that. Is like we want to do articles and stuff that us horror nerds would be into.
Right. Yeah, I love the magazine, man. I know you probably hear this a lot, but I wish it was a monthly. But I mean, I'm sure that would.
if it were a monthly, I don't think we'd be able to do conventions.
Oh, okay. Well, then I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be monthly then.
You know, one thing I was curious about, Nathan, is just your association with Horror Hound. I mean, putting that together, you talk about Cincinnati, Indianapolis. It's just the magnitude of a convention of this size, the amount of stars that are coming through there, getting all those things situated, what the plan is going to be day to day. I almost think it would be like being a showrunner for television. There's just so many responsibilities and so much stress that it, bestowed upon your shoulders. What's it like putting that together and making sure that everything's running tip top?
Oh my gosh. I think this is our 21st convention in Cincinnati. And, I think the thing that I learned the most over time is not to get so stressed out when everything doesn't work out properly. Mm-hmm. So we have a great team of guys. We have people that are in charge of wrangling celebrities. We've developed people who are in charge of our staff and our volunteers, and people who are in charge of our sales and people who are in charge of our vendors it doesn't always work out, but by this point, it's almost second nature for everyone. So the only time I really get worked up is if someone, you know, someone reaches a snag and can't do the show or something like that. We had that once in when we did our first show in Cincinnati at the convention center, which a lot of people remembered and wouldn't let us forget for a couple of years about the long lines getting in. And a lot of people don't realize that the people who run our front registration had a death in the family 2 days before our show and had to do a funeral that weekend.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's like, it's always a lot of work putting this together, but you never know what's going to happen at the same time. And trying to manage all that is fun until it's not fun. but I don't know if I answered your question.
I think you did.
Anybody ever done anything bad enough that they're like banned from whoring around conventions or anything?
As far as fans,
there
are people who are banned. We've had people who we've had to arrest for stealing and just causing public damage to property at the venue, stuff like that. You know, and you do anything, stuff like that happens.
With as many people as you've got coming in and out of that place, I mean, you're bound to have a little bit of drama, to whether that drama is contained quickly. And I can tell you, I hate drama, but just walking around your show, I had a blast. I mean, of course, I was dressed a little different, but but I mean, it was, I mean, your flow, everything, it didn't seem like the lines were super huge. And that was what, on a Friday night, right, Oz?
Friday in the past indie show. Yeah.
Yeah. That was just awesome. That was my second convention that I went to. I've been to.
Yeah, you went to, well, the first one you met me at was, you know, up in Indy. Yeah. But that was your first Horror Hound show, and I told you,
yeah, that's what's
if said. You remember, yeah. I told you, wait, see, we get to Horror Hound, it's going to be totally. If you like this, you're going to really love Horror Hound, and
that's a true statement, and it held true. I can say that. I mean, kudos, man, you do one hell of a good show, and great job orchestrating everything.
I appreciate that. Most of these, you know, there's a lot of crazy stories that I probably shouldn't tell, but yeah, we've developed a really great crew who just really tackle everything, and you shouldn't notice stories like that happening around you, because they're so quick to diffuse situations and stuff like that, and just try to make sure everyone's having a great time.
And that's right. What matters in the end. I mean, it was a blast.
Yeah, and I go to several conventions, you know, organized conventions, and I still will say, you know, and I'm not saying this just because you're on the line, Horror Hound is my favorite, because I just feel like it's organized better. Everything just flows better. The guests that Nathan is able to get, I mean, I sometimes just shake my head, because especially if you compare them to other shows, Nathan's able to, I mean, Horror Hound's able to get guests, you know, from like The Walking Dead. You know, that's just for an example. I mean, a lot of the other shows that I go to, I mean, they don't have any celebrities that are that bit, you know, that are even to the caliber as Horror Hound.
I mean,
that's great.
Not just that, so I'm looking forward to the X-Files. I mean, you got William B. Davis and Mitch Pileggi there, right. And I am very excited about that. They're my two favorite. I mean,
the only thing better would have been...
Not Mulder and Scully, it's them.
That's what I was going to say. The only thing that would top that would be if he had Mulder and Scully there. I mean,
I don't even think that would be the case. I went to a Comic-Con where Gillian Anderson was there, and I wasn't all that thrilled, but if I knew that William B. Davis and Mitch Pileggi were there, I would get excited. I'd get in line, so...
We tried for Mulder and Scully, Gillian and David, and unfortunately with the show's revival, they were just extremely busy.
Right.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Of course. And I don't think I've gone public and said that they're not doing the show. I think some people were holding out hope, but no, we tried. We tried hard, and we waited a long time before we got the official yes and no's, and sadly, they're just way too busy with this revival.
Right. One question I do have, and you might go with the PC answer here, but with all the shows that you've attended, both as a fan and organized, as you know, with your Horror Hound brand, is there any, you know, one celebrity that really stands out that's like, you know, your favorite to have come and be a Horror Hound regular?
A celebrity that has been doing Horror Hound?
Yeah, that you've had at Horror Hound, and it was your favorite to deal with, and you know.
I hate to say my favorite, but I mean an easy answer for one of my favorites is Scott Wilson.
Oh, I love him. Yeah,
I was great. Waiting yeah. for Oz to get done talking to mention Mr. Wilson.
Scott he's one of the first people we ever had who not only genuinely was interested in the conventions and the fans and everything, but was interested in the people who put on the show. And, you know, he's one of the few celebrities who I talk to for no reason, when the show's not going on, who comes up to my room to sit around and talk after the show.
You have your own personal Herschel is what you're telling me.
He's just a great guy. I'll call his manager, and they'll be at a show that weekend together, and I'll hear Scott in the background say, "Who are you talking to?" And he says, "Nathan." And he says, "Hand me the phone."
That's so awesome.
I always get a kick out of him. He's the best, and if I could, I'd have him at every show. He really is one of my favorite people.
I met him at in Indianapolis at one of the Horror Hound shows. He was a great guy, and, I mean, just a phenomenal actor too. Just the films that he's been in. I mean, he's extremely talented actor.
Yeah. And, just cause I feel like I should say it, one of the best guests we've ever had is Jamie Lee Curtis.
I could see that. Right. That
still is sore to me, Nathan, cause I was supposed to go to that show, and I was stuck house sitting for my mom that weekend. And
were so nervous. Like, I went to the airport. I don't think I've ever told this story. I don't know what it's called. It's like a little church that's in every airport. And, until a celebrity gets off the plane, I'm never know, you know, if they're actually going to get off the plane. You don't know. And I remember going into that little church area and saying a little prayer, saying, please let her get off that plane. But at the same time, my concern was that she was going to get off the plane and just be a complete diva, and I was going to regret the whole weekend. And it was the complete opposite. She would bend over backwards to do whatever we asked, whatever we needed, whatever was best for the show. And I did not expect that at all. She really was one of the most accommodating guests we've ever had.
Now, I know that show was advertised, her one and only convention appearance.
Yeah.
Is there any even inkling of a hope that may ever happen? Because I know she did it for charity, right?
Yeah, it was for charity. Raised, I think it was, don't quote me, $170,000, somewhere in that range for Children's Hospital of, I think it was Children's Hospital of Los Angeles, maybe.
I think that's right.
But no, she really made it clear that she had no interest in doing another one. She loves the fans and everything, but just that grueling, you know, 3 days, 2 days of just signing and just being like told what to do and everything. I don't know if I don't know if I'd want to do it. And, I think she's also someone of her word, where she said that's that. I don't.
Right.
I can't imagine changing.
I thought maybe, you know, as a chair to do more, because I know she's very active in you know, charities and organizations. I thought, you know, maybe she would reconsider to do it for charity again or something. But
I know she's done things like she went to Comic-Con. I believe she went to Comic-Con. I didn't see her there. But I believe she was there to promote Scream Queens. To do a Q&A. And I know she's done a charity auction where she signed items for an auction in L.A. since our show. But as far as signing, doing photo ops and all that stuff, I really think she's going to stick to her guns on it being the only one.
Well, I know you talk about somebody that hadn't done a lot of that as Jamie Lee Curtis, but you have somebody who has done quite a few of them, but also coming up on his last appearance, you've got Ted White coming up for Horror Hound. And I'm just curious. Yeah. I mean, a lot of Friday the 13th fans, horror fans, talk about, Ted White was the person who set the standard for what Jason became. And I'm just wondering, this being his last convention, do you have anything big planned as a nice little send-off for Ted White?
Nothing I can talk about. It was an appearance that almost didn't even happen. He had informed his manager that he was gonna close up shop, and I think he had one convention appearance left in Europe, and he wanted that to be his last one. And they said, you can't do this to the fans out here need at least one shot at if they knew that the last one was the last one, they would have taken a little effort to be there. And, and he agreed that, you're right. The fans should get, at least that kind of respect. And it was very cool that it ended up being our show. It could have easily been someone else. We're very honored that it's going to be his final convention. And it's rough because we have, we have a budget where we do our event, and we have so many things that we had planned for this show. And one of the things I should have expected but didn't plan for was how many people wanted to come be with him this weekend. And that was something.
It's
that
a lot.
And I felt bad that we couldn't just fly in everyone he's ever worked with and ever known, because it was kind of it was great to see how many people, really wanted to be there for his last show.
That's really awesome.
Everybody that we've had on the show, just even guests that weren't in the final chapter, but just know him from conventions and things like that. Just absolutely rave and are just enamored by Ted White.
And that was the funny thing. It was like there were people who never was in a film with them, and it's like, geez, I'd love to have you, and I have this thing going on with X-Files, and we have this neat MTV Scream reunion, and we have Elvira, we have all this stuff, Walking Dead coming. It's like, but at the end of the day, you have to make those hard decisions. It was like, I can't, I just can't fly in everyone. I wish I could.
Right.
I think fans get mad sometimes because that's just kind of the fact.
Right.
I mean, it literally is, unanimous throughout the Friday community that Ted White is just a great man. But I need to ask one thing. How do I get a restraining order against him because he threatened to kill me?
we had him on the show, and Eric asked a question that Ted it was jokingly, but he did take a little bit of exception with.
Feel kind of proud about that. My life was threatened by only one celebrity in the past, and that was Stan Winston. And I've always held that as a badge of honor.
Sweet. No, he did it in jest. Completely in jest, because we're Friday the 13th geeks, so we pick up on every little minute detail. And I asked him a question regarding the scene where he busts through the door after Tommy and Trish, and he had never been asked that in all of the years. And it ended with, shall I quote him directly?
Of course.
I think you should first tell him what the question was.
Right.
I wanted to know if whenever he busted through the door, if that was a John Wayne stance. And since he was John Wayne's double for so long, and amongst many others, his IMDb is just off the charts. But among those accomplishments as Ted White has is being John Wayne's stunt double. And every time Jason busted through that door, to me it looked like he was John Wayne ready to pull a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Only it was a hammer that had magic magnetic power.
These guys, it's funny. Ted White did how many John Wayne films did he do? Was it a lot?
Yeah, jeez. For 17 years.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Then it had to be.
Yeah, Clark Gable, Jeff Bridges. I mean,
he had all kinds of great stories. I mean, last year at Horror Hound in Indianapolis, when he was on that panel, I mean, he stole the show on that panel. Mm. I mean, he's just, I could sit and listen to Ted forever. And luckily we're, going to see him, next month and for one last go around. So definitely looking forward to that.
And I mean, the dude played football for Oklahoma State University. Then he was drafted as a second lieutenant on Iwo Jima. And John Wayne was doing the movie Sands of Iwo Jima, and John
Wayne was also walking wounded too.
He was walking wounded from San Antonio, and they flew him out to the sands of Iwo Jima, and John Wayne noticed basically that. Well, the next movie that Ted White came in to do his body double, he remembered him from the sands of Iwo Jima because Ted knew what Iwo Jima looked like. Exactly. But, I mean, you are in quite a conundrum because, I mean, you have some amazing guests. And, I mean, I feel a little worried for Alexandra Beckenridge. I don't think she's going to fare too well on The Walking Dead.
She's not going to have a very good Valentine's Day.
I don't think
she is either, but I think she's going to do fairly well at Horror Hound. I will say that.
Oh, yes, I do too.
Oh, and she was so heartbroken. It was, I heard this funny story that she was with, I think Chandler Riggs and Scott Wilson a couple weeks ago. And she, there was a personal reason why she has to, miss Saturday and Sunday. She's now Friday only, but she's doing everything she could to make sure she was at least there Friday. And when she mentioned it to Chandler and Scott that she's like, oh, I'm only going to be there Friday, they both apparently razzed her really hardcore about it, I think being like one of their favorite shows. And she was very upset to hear that because she already was she was already upset to miss 2 days, but then to have them give us their stamp of approval, she, I think, felt even worse.
That's funny.
But yeah, we're not done. We still have names to go.
Anything that we can share with us that
Turn to Camp Blood exclusive, maybe?
You heard it here first.
We have some names that are coming that are Camp Blood-esque in nature.
Oh, yeah?
Ooh, I'm interested.
Yeah. We're all ears.
Well, I mentioned before about people wanting to make sure that they're there for Ted's last show, and we were able to work out so that a couple of them could make it, and we haven't announced. And one of those is someone who did work with them, and that's Eric Anders. Did they say that?
Outstanding.
Right?
He was on the show too. Yeah.
Yes. He's the one who coined us
as nerds.
Yes. Yes. That is irony. I am looking forward to meet him. Yeah. That is awesome.
I met him a couple. He's a great guy. So I'm also looking forward to seeing him again. He was great.
And he gave complete accolades to Ted White as well too.
Yeah, he did.
It's humbling that so many people think so well of one individual, and I mean that doesn't happen too often. That's just awesome.
Yeah, and then found out this week Ari Lehman's going to be joining us as well.
Very nice.
That is awesome. Ari seems like he is a great guy, and it seems like Ted walked him right down the path that he needed to be on.
Yeah, Ari had, he was actually our first celebrity that we had on the show, and he had some interesting stories to tell us about Ted White and keeping Ari out of trouble, and also about punctuality, wasn't it?
Was punctuality
keeping Ari out of trouble? You say
that's yes. That's what Ari said. That, you know, that Ted actually gave him the keys to his car when they were in Buffalo and said, you know, something about, you know, if anything happens, you call me. But if I hear, you know, you didn't call me, you're going to be in even more trouble, or something to that effect. But yeah, it was kind of funny.
Yeah, Ari's always interesting and fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, we have some other names, and those are, you know, I think if I don't get them on the website within the next week, I'm going to start getting death threats from their managers, because we've really tracked out some of these announcements.
Right. Well, one of them that I was really surprised, that I was really happy to see, and even though it's not one of my favorite installments, was Stephen Williams, even though he is probably more so there for the X-Files reunion. But I posted on our Facebook page for anyone who is in or around the area to come out and see Creighton Duke from Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah.
You know, the way it works is you have sometimes I go after people I want. The X-Files reunion was something I wanted to do last year, and in fact, if you recall, Mitch Pileggi was booked in our show last year and had to cancel.
Right. Yep.
What happened was in Brav, who was I'm not really great with names. What happened was he had to cancel. And we had just made the deal to have the lone gunman at the show.
Oh, okay.
And we hadn't announced him yet, and we were like freaking out, because that, of course, that happens, you know. So we talked to her manager, and she had agreed to go ahead and postpone their appearance until this year. Unbeknownst to us, that the reason Mitch had canceled was because he had to go to a meeting to determine if they were going to do a new X-Files. So that delay by a year actually ended up helping us quite a bit, but we had this reunion planned for over a year, and it just happened that the show was coming back, and it was just, you know, some people could look at what we're doing this year and be like, oh, they're, you know, they're trying to exploit the fact that X-Files is back. It's like, no, we were working on this a year ago.
Already in the works.
Oh yeah, Brian Thompson did the show last year, and he was supposed to be part of that X-Files thing. But Brian didn't want to postpone his appearance.
Gotcha.
But the Steve Williams, he wasn't on my radar, and he was offered to us once the X-Files stuff started getting announced, and his role in Jason Goes to Hell was the main reason I got excited. I'm like, yeah, we have to book him.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a good actor, and I really enjoyed most of anything he's been in, but I was a little disappointed with the, you know, Jason Goes to Hell. I mean, he seemed like he was such an interesting character. But they really didn't.
It should have been named Tommy Jarvis.
Well, yeah, but even if they were going to keep it as he was a bounty hunter, they didn't really do enough to give any depth to that character. They didn't say anything about a backstory with him and Jason or anything. I mean, the only thing that they had was that one line where he's like, "Remember me, you son of a bitch." I mean, other than that, it's like he was kind of like they just threw him in there, and it was kind of a, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know how all of you feel about that movie. It's not exactly, you know, to me, it's not exactly the most well thought out movie.
Yeah, it's one of our least favorite, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, it's still got some really fun moments. And if it wasn't for that
movie, oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't think we would have ever gotten Freddy versus Jason.
That's true.
Yeah. That's definitely true. All right. Well, you guys got anything else for Nathan before we wrap up?
No, sir. Thank you for being on the show, sir.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Yes.
You want to let everybody know?
Are all of you going to be at the show in March, I assume?
Yes.
The three of us that are on now will be, and our regular host, Chris, he's planning to be there as well. So there should be four of us there.
Well, cool.
Do you want to let everybody know the dates?
At the Sharonville Convention Center, March 18th through the 20th. And all of our ticket info and everything is on horrorhoundweekend.com, which is a really difficult thing to say verbally because people always mistake it.
Yeah, and I'm sure they get to different websites that are not related.
That voice, the text picks up.
I wonder if those websites are available. I should buy them.
Probably.
Just in case.
Yeah.
And there's also Horror Hound Weekend on Facebook that anyone can check out. And guest announcements and information is also there. Okay. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to the show. And if you want to support the show financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. Send your questions and theories to our Facebook page. You can tweet us at Camp Blood Pod or send an email to feedback@campbloodpodcast.com. You can also text or leave us a voicemail at 757-637-0216. And please consider checking out some of the other shows on the Tangent Bound Network, like the network's flagship show, the Tangent Bound Podcast, the Talk Sick Podcast, or the Night Keep. You can find these shows and many more at tangentboundnetwork.com. Special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check out his music at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.